WTR Mobile.
Afternoon, Tom. I have just enough time to say hello to you. Kilo 4, Whiskey, Charlie, Lima.
Afternoon, John. Well, it's nice to hear you, no matter how long. I'm doing fine. I'm headed back down to Greer Hospital to pick up the wife. She had a, or has an ongoing chemical stress test. No fun at all.
She sounds fun at all. She been there all morning?
Well, they estimated 4 hours. I guess it's because they got to, you know, inject some stuff in you and wait for so long. I don't remember. I've had them before, and they're very uncomfortable to me. But my wife, she had one before, and she said, it didn't bother me. But she's a farm girl from Kansas, and she's tough.
Roger, Roger. I'm sure all those years you and Bernice have been married made her even tougher there, Tom. Hi, hi. All right, well, very good. I'm just running down here to the Holly Springs store. So, country store in the middle of nowhere at the intersection of Highway 11 and US 178. But they got a little grill in there, and boy, they serve up the best hamburgers you ever had. So I called ahead of time. I'm going to pick them up. We're going to eat some hamburgers, and then we're heading back to home in Atlanta, and we'll be back up Thursday. So I'll make this my final. Maybe I'll jump back in on the way up the mountain. Be just a few minutes. So 73 for now, and 0TR, KA4WCL.
KA4WCL and 0TR. Well, John, I think she deserves 56 bronze stars with valor and about the same number of purple hearts just for putting up with me that long. You're right. Take care, John. Enjoy your hamburgers. I think you said Holly Springs, but I'm not sure. I was in a little bit of traffic here. This is N0TR.
Hey, Tom, I'll talk to you for a minute. This is KO4QLD. How you doing today?
It's great to hear you as always. Enjoy that. And on rare occasions, I might add. Oh, I'm going to down here by the old mill, down 101, heading towards the Greer Memorial to pick up Bernice. She had a chemical stress test. We can't do the walking ones anymore. And I just been out picking up prescriptions and stuff at Walmart, and went back and had a donut and a cup of coffee and headed back down that way. How's your day going, buddy?
Going okay now. I had a little bit of a rough morning. But I'm just starting on my taxes and my internet went down. So I'm waiting for it to come back up so I can pull up some records from Department of Revenue. So, kind of an exciting day.
Exciting to me. Bernice always looks at our taxes, but I think this year maybe we might have to go to a tax person. Maybe not, but oh well, it is what it is. I've never missed ever paying taxes. Now, if you make under a certain amount each year, you don't even have to file, Chris, after a certain age. I don't know what it is. But if you go over that much, you got to file. I can't remember how much it was. Bernice told me one time, I think it was around $32,000 or something for a married couple. If you went over that, well, then you had to file. Otherwise, you didn't have to.
Yeah, I don't think I fall in that category because of the business. I usually file an extension every year just because it's so hectic around tax time. My tax guy having to get everybody's regular taxes in. It's just easier on us all if I file for extension, and I think it's due tomorrow after that 6-month extension. Works out better for both of us.
Thank you, Chris. Well, I think you said you had some sand pile up down on the range, but other than that, you stayed pretty clear of the storm?
Pretty clear. Still got one tree down there at the house. But it's a big tree, and it fell toward the house and just missed it by inches. So very lucky in that case. Somebody was looking out for me there. But it's still on the ground, out of the way, and not causing a problem, so just taking their time with it. That sand on the range was a rut that the river cut across, and it's a pretty big rut. I'm going to have to get the loader out there to move sand around there. But all in all, still pretty lucky. KO4QLG.
Well, you're going to have to get that moose of a man up there, your cousin Chad, and get him down there and help you out with that tree. Don't you try it. I had several oak trees way back behind the range that fell down, and a couple of pine trees, but nothing that I have to deal with right away. There's one down there. I think I'll take my electric chainsaw down there. And it's only about 4 inches in diameter. It's a pine tree. So I think I can limb it out and just get it out of the way some. My shoulder's messed up again some. And the doctor said wait a month or two and we'll look at it again if necessary. I goofed it up out there with an 80-volt leaf blower. Those things are heavy. And so is the electric chainsaw, by the way. But I went in Lowe's this morning. About 99% of what they got is electric chainsaws. That is, if you got enough money to afford all the extra batteries, it's in your OTR.
Me's got one of those DeWalt electric chainsaws, and it actually works pretty good. Lasts a good little while, too. Of course, that depends on the size of the battery that you get. But speaking of medical stuff, I've never heard of a chemical stress test. How does that work?
Go in there and you sit on the table, and there's about three people there watching you. I don't know how many of them's doctors. I think one's a doctor and two of them's, I don't know what they are, cardiac people. And they inject you with this stuff and it speeds your heart up. Believe me, you can feel it. And I don't like it. I'm always afraid it'll give me a heart attack. And then they look at parameters while your heart's up. And while it's down and compare them and that. Renisha's got to have one because if she has a hip surgery in January, they got to know that her heart's okay, so I hope she passes this. I just sat there on that table. You're sitting there setting up with your feet hanging over, and my feet are going back and forth on like 90 to nothing. They got an IV in you. They just stab another hypodermic in that IV real quick, and it'll bring your heart back down to normal in no time. The last time I had it, they had to give me an extra injection to get mine back down. But and then I got sick afterward. You can't drink coffee for a day or a day and a half before that test. No caffeine whatsoever. It affects the results of the test. But he does the same thing, basically, as walking on a treadmill.
Oh, Well, it might do the same thing, but it sure sounds scary. I don't know if I'd like that or not. They read one of those numbers wrong on that syringe, and seems like you could be pretty close to, like you said, having a heart attack. I got another question for you. Have you heard of anybody having problems with RF signals because of these crawl mass injections that happened a few days ago?
Actually, one night there, the upper bands, 10, 12, 15, were really good, and the daughter sent me some pictures of the Northern Lights that were just beautiful. They live in Michigan, prettiest I ever seen. But usually it does, because that's geomagnetic. But there was some pretty serious coronal mass ejections here not very many days ago, Chris. And they can.
My sister said she seen pictures on Facebook of the Northern Lights that some people in the area saw. And believe it or not, those crawl mass ejections affect me because I've got those two antennas in my head. That's why I call them anyway, antennas, because they seem to be affected by that electromagnetic. Output that they cause. And I've been shaking for the past 2 days because of it. I've noticed every time I get to shaking that there's a big coronal mass ejection just a few days prior.
Can you turn the exciter up on that on your phone just a little bit, Chris, to settle it down, or does it get beyond that?
I haven't tried it yet, but I don't really know when it's going to affect me. The CMEs usually take 2 or 3 days to hit the earth, and it really depends on what angle they hit it at. And it's just hard to determine when I need to do it, but it only lasts for a few minutes at a time. But I guess I could try that. I actually haven't thought of that.
Well, Chris, of course, it all depends on the wavelength of those CMEs, and I am not that smart. It'd take a physicist to tell you that just about. Somebody like Bill, N4IQ, or some of the smart guys down at the Greer Amateur Radio Club, the old-timers, and not necessarily the old ones, but that's pretty high technology there that you got. But I wouldn't have any idea what frequency spectrum those are in, but I would say extremely short wavelengths, you know, like 900 megs or even beyond that. And I don't know. I don't know about shielding, Chris. And but you got this major problem. Yours is like a waveguide on a microwave because your head's so hollow up there.
Yeah, I heard that. That was actually a pretty good one, Tom. I got to give you credit on that. That was pretty good in KO4 community.
Oh, that was just leading up to the good one. It was because of the you joined the Marine Corps. And Chad, well, he was CIA. When did I hear that call the other day? Crazy in the Army, Chris.
Sounds like Bernice ain't with you today. She's not doing any correcting of your attitude.
Well, she'll slap me around and give me an attitude adjustment when I pick her up. I'm just sitting over here in the parking lot. I'd rather talk to you than I would go in and sit in that waiting room, I'll tell you for sure. Oh, I couldn't resist that, Chris. But, I would say that you'd have to ask somebody in the cardiac department that's up on that because, well, you know what? That'd have to be in the Bluetooth range, wouldn't it? Because it works off your phone.
Well, probably in the same area, but it don't actually work off my phone. It's a separate, made by Megatronics. I think they call it a controller. Same idea, because it works off of the signals from that controller.
You got anything like that for us husbands that we could incorporate on our wives to make them listen and do what we tell them?
Well, I don't know. I would imagine that they don't, because most of my neurologists and nurses and everybody that works with me are female. So if that is possible, they're probably keeping it hid from us.
Good one, Chris. That's about the truth, I'll tell you for sure. Well, I become the proud owner of, I think it's a 552 Remington. Tubular fan, shoots shorts, longs, and long rifles. You ever hear of that one? It's an old classic.
Yeah, I have heard of it. I don't think I've ever worked on one. But that 552 definitely rings a bell. Can't say I've ever worked on one, though.
Sir. Well, the only thing I find, it's got a little thing over the ejector out there, and it's a little plate, so that the rounds won't come out and hit the guy next to you in the face or something. That might ring a bell to you, because they are. I think they're number 6, but they could be 440s or something that's applicable to gunsmithing. But one of them had been screwed in, cross-stripped, took it off to clean it, and I put it back and I'll just leave it there. I won't take it off again. But my cousin down in Florida was a colonel in the JAG Corps, and I introduced him with an old nylon 66, well, probably 50 years ago, to shooting, and he never forgot that. But T.A. sent me an article, Turner Arthur's his name, and it's an article on it, and it says there's two roll pins there. I call them roll pins, you know, dowel pins. And they go clear through it, and they drop the action out the bottom. But, Chris, I don't have any mechanical aptitude very much. Some, but not a lot. Mostly electrical. And I'm just a little scared to doing that. But this thing was mint. And I happened onto it by accident. This is Gerald T.R. I had bought a Ruger, and it was supposed to shoot shorts. And when I got it and took it home, it didn't. It was a 10/22 type rifle, only a little different than the standard one. And I took it back, and the old boys traded me for this 5.52, which was marked much higher than the one I bought. And I was tickled to death because wooden stock and all instead of Cycle-Lac or whatever they make them out of. And I wanted to be able to shoot shorts in it for squirrels, you know, and varmints. And it did. It hung the last shot, and I think one other one out of about 15 rounds. And I had cleaned it, but you can't really get down into the action good. And I'd like to get that cleaned out. I might take it over to Gunsmith at Shooters or something. I don't think you do that kind of thing anymore, do you?
Oh, not for the general public, but I would be willing to do it for you, Tom. It's just one of those things where it would depend on how I'm moving it, how long it would take. But you pick a good day to bring it over, and we might could just sit down and do it right there as we talk.
That'd be great, Chris. Maybe one of these days. I ain't no hurry on it. I'm thinking about mounting a scope on it. But the only extra scope I got is a 4-12 Bushnell. And I don't know it. You know, it's got a dovetail on top of it. Don't look like much of a dovetail, but there is. So I got some Leupold mounts. But I think I'd be better off with a 22 scope. And, oh, heck, I was trying to think the guy's name. I haven't talked to him in a while. We talked about that Leupold one time, and the eye relief on it's crappy. And Leupold's not cheap, of course. But I'd like to get a good 22 scope for it. But I don't know if I have to go to 30 millimeter because of the objective lens size or not yet. I haven't got that far into it, Chris.
Yeah. A scope for it shouldn't be hard to find. And I think most of those tubes are pretty small for the rimfire. I don't think it would be hard to find a good one. And they're not very expensive either. Unless, of course, you go with a name like Leupold.
Here's the catch, Chris. 99% of what I shoot at is within 35 yards. And most of those, not all, but most of them are parallax-free at 100. You know, and these little tree rats around here, and the only time I bother them is when they get up and start to chew on my coax, because that stuff's expensive anymore. And the problem is, with something the size of a half a dollar, you can't afford any parallax in that. And it'll make you miss them. I know if I don't set that parallax just right on that 10-22 with that 4-12 on it, when they get that close, it's very definitely a hindrance. You got to have it set perfect, and I've done that from years of experience. Parallax error, most guys don't even know what it is, but it's the apparent movement of the reticle on the target. And if it's set like a standard scope, it'll be set at 100 yards. I might get by with one that's set for 50, and most of those 22 scopes are. So I'd love to have an adjustable objective.
I would probably go with a red dot sight instead of the scope. You can sometimes find those with a slight magnification, like a 1 or 2 power. A graphic red dot, so it just projects inside the optic itself. It doesn't project a laser beam out. And if you get it mounted low enough, you could put it in the right line on the bore, and that would keep you from having to have it exact at a certain yard line. You would just adjust as you make the shot. If you follow what I'm talking about, I would probably better sit down and explain to you on paper. Just because I'm bad at explaining things, but you sight in a direct line of the bore instead of your impact point.
That's a great idea, Chris. You know, I had one on a Ruger Hunter and stainless 10/22 pistol. Or not 10/22, but you know what I mean. The standard Ruger. And that might be a good idea. It's not the one I have is not high-end. It's reasonably priced. Some of those things can get up several hundred dollars, and I understand that. But you know, that might be a good idea because there's not much of a way. Do you got to put a Picatinny rail on it or anything? And you know, it's just got grooves up there, and they're pretty small. But I was trying to think of that one that's so popular. I looked at those one time, and those were lasers, so they were $300-$400. I like that green one, but I ain't gonna get that much. But I could get a Weaver or something like that, and instead of a laser, like you said, and that's what this one is on that pistol. But that ought to be good enough, Chris. I appreciate that. I'll take that in consideration.
I've got an aim point on my 10/22, and it's pretty dead on at closer ranges, like you say you're shooting 22 rifles, so it's got the mount for that little bitty dovetail like yours has got. And I think it retails for like $40. So it's pretty cheap and reliable.
Well, you know, Chris, that's exactly what that one is that I have on that Hunter. And where'd you get yours at? It's been so many years since I got that one that I guess I could just look at Amazon, couldn't I?
Yeah, that would be your best bet. Or just Google it. Places like Optics Planet. Optics Planet is about the biggest one on the internet. You would probably find the best price there too. And I got mine off of a friend. He paid like $39.99 for it. So I got it a little bit cheaper than that. Don't recall what I spent on it. But they retailed for $39.99. KO4QLG.
Oh, I was looking at my security camera here to see who was coming. to the door, but I think it was just the wind. Yeah, that's just exactly what I'll do. I never heard of Octopus Planet. I've dealt with Midway up in Missouri many years, but their shipping charges are ridiculous anymore. All of them are, not just Midway. But that's what I was looking at Scopes several years ago. But Optics Planet, I got to remember that. And if I don't, I'll holler at you. but that sounds like a real useful tool, Chris. Thank you.
That's what I use. Serves me pretty good, too. I got a groundhog I've been trying to get, and I can't never run up on him and see him before he sees me. You know, them groundhogs, they get gone pretty quick. They spot you in a heartbeat.
When I got rid of two of them, I couldn't figure out. I kept trying to catch them in a have a heart trap. And one of my buddies said, well, Tom, just put some cabbage in there, or lettuce, in that have a heart trap. By golly, I did, Chris, and I caught him the very next day. So if you can find where his hole's at. Also, they're probably a lot like and these moles and stuff like that, they'll have a certain time of day that they work. But don't know if that applies to groundhogs. I got one out there on the game camera, but he's better than 100 yards out there, about 110 yards. So if he don't come up and dig holes around my foundation or something, I won't bother him if he don't bother me. But if he does, he's going to go to that rumor heaven in the sky.
Yeah, Roger that. I think I've had my best luck catching them on lettuce. I've never used cabbage just because we don't go through much cabbage around here. But I have caught a few in the trap. It just seems like that trap gets a smell on it, I think. Because after the first few, you have to wash it, or they, for some reason, I think it's because of the smell, they won't go in there no matter what you got in it.
Reminds me, Annie. Animals are pretty smart fellas, I'll tell you for sure. And there's, they're hard to fool at times. They make fools of us. But this one was coming out and got aggressive with my sister out in her yard. And he was coming out of a pipe, we call them whistles, that go into the driveway. And she said it growled at her. Now, I couldn't tell you if that's right or wrong. She was scared of her shadow. But I had to get rid of it. It just went no other way.
Any animal gets aggressive with a human, you kind of need to take it out because it sounds like something's wrong with
it. Someone was at the house. I forget who it was. It might have been Patrick. And I showed him my TV antennas that are up in the attic. I got one on a rotator and one that's not, and they're phased together. And I pulled those stairs down that go up in the attic, and lo and behold, there was a bat on it. Well, I ain't never had bats in my belfry. Well, according to Bernice, I might have. But anyways, I asked Siri how to catch it. And she said to get you something like a small box, like a shoe box, and cut you a piece of cardboard the same size, a little bit bigger than the shoe box, and just snap that over them and slide that piece of shoe box down behind it. Worked like a champ. Siri knows everything on that phone sometimes. But anyways, I went on up and looked, and there's about six of them attached to the screen in the gable. And some of them were pretty good size. And I thought, well, I've got to get rid of those things. So I did. And they hadn't gotten to the inside. I thought they was inside my attic. Thank God they weren't. But as far as I know, they haven't been back. It was hot up there, too. Next week's supposed to get considerably colder. I think 14 degrees below normal. Had you heard that?
I heard it from my aunt yesterday, but I haven't seen it on the weather report. I'm not looking forward to the cold weather, but it's been seeming pretty nice around here lately. Been very beautiful weather.
Boy, you got that right, Chris. My left lung's attached to my rib cage, and it does not like cold. Bernice used to make me pads, and then I used a Velcro strap, went around me, and it held it on top of that rib cage. And then they broke the ribs with a rib spreader because they had to do the lung surgery twice. They left me bleeding inside up at good old Oakland Naval Hospital. And I worked on the roofs there back home in Kansas in the wintertime at times on, we had a 13 million BTU stress oven. We had two 275,000 forced air heaters on the sandblast room. And I'd have to go up there, whether it was an ice storm or snowstorm or pouring down rain, it didn't matter. But I finally put my foot down to lightning, and I told them, nope, you just have to hire somebody else when they asked me to do that. And there ain't no way. But, and it was all 480 volt three phase. But she'd make me those pads, and I'd wear one to work with me, or else keep it and insulated coveralls and everything else. But my left side, well, in fact, I just bought a heated blanket this morning at Walmart, $105. And when it gets chilly at night, I turn that thing on and don't have to have it all the time. But if it's down in the low 60s or so, I gotta have a coat, even in air-conditioned places like hospitals and that. I carry it in and put it on inside. And it's hurt for a little over 50 years now, Chris, but that's minor compared to somebody else's ills, you know. You just gotta live with them, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yep, I sure do.
Doctor's appointments. I don't know how many more we got this month, but at any rate, take it in stride. Sometimes of a morning, it's hard to even get out of bed. But seen a lot worse, Chris, and so have you. They'll make everybody go to a veterans hospital one time, and they think about how lucky they are. Boy, down there at Columbia, it's not as bad as what it was during the Vietnam War, but you see some horrific wounds down there, I'll tell you for sure.
Yeah, and there was a few in the recovery room with me that pretty young fellows and going through massive ordeals.
His chin shot off with an AK-47, and they kept every 6 months or so, they'd bone graft off of his hips and put it on his chin to make it grow back. But it didn't grow. And it really started affecting him, both physically and mentally. I felt so dang sorry for him. He'd be all up and excited about getting out, and then the dang thing would die. Another one they had, they took the skin, it was right around his neck, right around the collarbone. And I realized this is in the 60s. 68, 69, I guess it would have been. And they were making him a new set of ears. He ran over a landmine in a gas truck and knocked him unconscious. And he was leaning out the door, and it burned his ear off on that one side. I think it was just one ear. That didn't work out very well either. But plastic surgery, I'm sure, has come a long way since then. But I get all emotional if I start telling people the things you saw, you know. Guys getting up of a morning and putting on their legs and their arms and their faces. And especially the helicopter pilots during Vietnam, they were shooting them down like geese. And that plexiglass, I guess, up in the front of them Hueys, it just ain't much protection from a, what is it, 27 or 37 millimeters?
Yeah, some of these politicians had children that were in the service. There would probably be a lot less wars going on, that's for sure.
The administration's got us into 3 right now. They better hope it don't go further with Iran over there. Them people's nuts. But I won't go into that. But, wow, I hope that changes. And I already voted, by golly, and sent my ballot in. We voted at home, and they just come a few days ago, and I took them right up and dropped them in at the post office. So if they got the right party count in the middle count, Chris.
Tim, you know you can go to voter registration and volunteer as a ballot counter or a poll watcher. Either one, and see for yourself. I thought about doing that. Still haven't made my mind up yet, but have seriously thought about volunteering.
Well, I can't stand long, so there's no way I could stand in line to vote, and I can't sit for too long, Chris. It's too much pain. And it's just that simple. Well, I finally found a handicapped parking spot here so that I can walk across the street and get my wife. If she can walk this far, I don't know. She don't like to sit either. Her hips shot cramps, and she needs a new store-bought one. And this test will determine whether or not they can do surgery on her, so we're sure hoping, Chris. Well, I better let you go and get in there. It's about time for her to get out, and she'll be calling me anyways. But, man, I've enjoyed it a bunch, and we'll get up there and see you one of these days, and maybe Bernice will make you a nice treat. She's been cooking for about 50 to 75 people all the German treats last week for my daughter's Oktoberfest. So I think she's kind of cooked out. Take care, Chris. And holler at me anytime or call me. KO4QLG in 0TR. 73's Chris.
Not speaking with you today. I'm going to talk at you somewhere down the line. KOP.
Airport, QLJ.
I'm clear.